السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن سيدنا ونبينا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده، الذي قال عن نفسه: أنا سيد ولد آدم ولا فخر، آدم ومن دونه تحت لوائي، أنا إمام الأنبياء إذا اجتمعوا وخطيبهم إذا وفدوا ومبشرهم إذا أيسوا، وأنا أكرم ولد آدم على ربي. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Respected brothers, elders, it is the third day of and I'm on the Gregorian calendar. So just 2 days ago, or three, now people were celebrating, and or before that they were even looking forward into ushering into the new year. You know, this the Yahud, one of the things, in fact, they're working on in this world, they don't want to leave this world. They're working on preserving life. If you see, so many products to keep people young. Now, to prevent wrinkles and, you know, to look young and to be fit and all that. يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَّحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. That one of them wishes that he would live 1,000 years in this world. Subhanallah. When I heard this about the Yahud, and I remember this ayah of Quran. Subhanallah. Ajib. That this is the effort they're making. They don't want to die. In Surah Juma also, no? If you think that you are special servants of Allah, فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتِ, wish for death. وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوا. They'll never wish for it. Because they work on preserving life. You see today, the stores that sell organic food, owned by Jewish people, they want to live a healthy life. They believe that when you live a healthy life, your life in this world will be will be a long one. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا. No one will die but by the permission of Allah. But it means also everybody will die. كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا. Everybody has his time. On our ID, birthday, no death day, but it is there. So most of them are making plans now, of drawn plans, which they call New Year's resolutions. But for a Muslim, you don't need for the year to come to an end or to wait for a new year to start planning for your life. A Muslim needs to plan his life every day. You don't have to wait for December or the next January that I messed up this year. Let's see the next year what it has in store. You have to prepare, because time is an erosion of our existence in this world. And we do not know what we will end tomorrow and what part of the world we will live from. So I thought of one of, maybe let's call it a recipe, inshallah, that the Muslim needs for, hayat and sa'ida, a good life in this world, and, you know, and in the hereafter. A good life, I mean, living in preparation for the hereafter. Allah gives him some kind of itminan. And I found that the key to all this is, you know, your mindset. I found that the mindset is a key of everything you do in your life. Your outlook to events, your response to events is dependent on your mindset. And we look at the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see that his mindset strengthened him. After that incident in Taif, anybody, any human being, after that unfortunate incident, a person would have taken a break. Now, a football player makes millions. One small injury, he finds an excuse to for chutti. He'll take a break. He's still recovering. The Nabi of Allah never took any break to recover. What made him strong? What kept him moving? It was the mindset. One day the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And they saw him that he laughed, meaning dhahika mubtasiman. Laughing but with a smile, no giggling. And they inquired from the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is it that made you laugh? He said, ajaban li amri al-mu'min. Ajaban li amri al-mu'min, inna amrahu kullahu khayr. How amazing is the affair of a mu'min. How amazing is the affair of a believer. Inna amrahu kullahu khayr. That everything in his life is khayr. In asabathu sarra, shakar. Wa kana khayrun lahu. That when good or he's being showered with blessings or good, you know, comes to him, shakar. وَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And that is better for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ الضُّرَّاءُ صَبَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And the Nabi of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا الْمُؤْمِنِ. And it is only a mu'min, we'll give it two translations. It is only a mu'min who has the ability to respond to these two things in this manner. Or it is only a mu'min who's blessed with this. That when good befalls him, he humbles himself, he's grateful to Allah. When difficulty befalls, he makes sabr, and it is also better for him. Again, another incident, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being pursued. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we know that when they took refuge in that cave. Now, they could see these people walking on top. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Ya Rasulallah, la nadhar ahaduhum tahta qadamihi. That if any one of them should look beneath his feet, they would see us. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mindset, please follow. He says to him, keep quiet. Ma dhannuka bi ithnain. Thalithuhuma. Nam? Allahu thalithuhuma. What is your perception of the two, the third of whom is Allah? He's the one who's being pursued. Price has been put on his head, but he's still positive. He expects only good from Allah, irrespective of what he's encountering. Because his ultimate goal was Al-Akhirah. The ultimate goal was Al-Akhirah. What is happening in this dunya? And I'll explain to you where this comes from. This understanding that whenever I've been afflicted, I should not consider myself inferior or cursed. And this is what was being said to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when there was that, you know, waqfa, that break from Al-Wahy. That is what they were saying to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah, you know, has abandoned him. But it is Allah who made him understand, and he also imparted that to his Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And I'll share with you another incident. That, ma asaba min musibatin fil ardi wala fi anfusikum illa fi kitabin min qabli an nabra'aha. Inna dhalika ala Allahi yasir. Allah gives two reasons. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوَ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah says, whatever difficulty that will befall or that has fallen, إِلَّا فِي كِتَاب, it has always been decreed before it is executed. So nothing happens haphazardly. Even the ayats of Quran were not revealed haphazardly. That is not my subject. But nothing happens haphazardly. Coincidence, people call it today. You know, I remember when I would speak to some of my non-Muslim friends, they would say, why do you talk about death? You know, you are incurring that on yourself. You can die quickly. I said, the way you are saying it is like, Allah will get surprised with me. Hey, how did this man die? Allah knew that I will die. So any difficulty that comes, or any difficulty that befalls, it has always been in the eternal knowledge of Allah, before it was executed. But what is the reason? لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوَ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ, so that you may not grieve over what you have lost. In fact, you should know that there's always a purpose to be fulfilled. وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا أَتَاكُمْ, and so that you may not boast over what you have gained. You'll hear people attributing things to themselves. He has struck a good deal. Says, ha, mito bo chala kadmi ho. Yeah, bal huwa fitna. It is fitna. Walakin aktharun nas la ya'lamun. It is fitna. Dhannu billahi khayra. Think and expect from Allah only good, and good will come to you. Even in business, they encourage people to be positive. This incident touches me. This one that I will share with you, it touches me a lot. This Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu speaks about his uncle Haram ibn Malhan. He was one of the 70 qurra, those who used to teach in Masjid al-Nabawi. This man would render two kinds of services. He would collect water for Ashab al-Sufa, and later in the evening he would teach them. There was a group that came to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they requested for those 70 qurra to go and teach in their land. They had a plan, they had a plot. On their way, just after exiting Medina, they attacked them. But this Haram ibn Malhan was attacked from behind. As-sabru in the sadmatil ula. Real patience is at that right time when you receive the news or you encounter that incident. But look at his mindset. Any other person would have translated this or interpreted it in his own way. He gets struck. And look what he says. He says, Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'bah. His ultimate goal is Al-Akhirah. He never claimed that, oh Allah, I've done so much khidmah, and I've been teaching, I've been in your ibadah, and this is what I get. He knew that this is Darul Baqa. He knew that with the effort he made, when he leaves, the only place he can go is to Allah. Now he gets struck with an arrow. What does he say? Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'ba. He says, I have succeeded. A man is being struck. He's about to die, and he calls it success. What would a non-Muslim call it? A non-Muslim would call it a defeat. He would call it a loss. But he calls it success. He says, Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'ba. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi, rahmatullah alayh, in his analysis of the battle of Uhud, he explains also that, you know, there's always a purpose, and this is what I'm going to emphasize on. There's always a purpose. He explains that the battle of Badr, people see it as a defeat. I mean, of Uhud. They see it as a defeat. But in fact, it was victory. Because there were purposes also to be fulfilled there. There are so many verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the mu'mineen that laqad kuntum that you were wishing for death. You were wishing for death and you saw it. He explains that Some of them wish to be martyrs. They wish to be shaheeds. And he says that in the shahadata min a'la maratib 'inda Allah, that martyrdom is one of the highest statuses in the sight of Allah. Wala sabila ila nayla hadhihi daraja, that and there's no other way of achieving this only by dying in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that purpose was fulfilled. Naam? And some were wishing for death. But another thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was exposing the munafiqeen. Allah was exposing the munafiqeen. And we know what happened. Some of them ran and they wanted to, you know, to meet with Abu Sufyan. I don't want to relate that whole story. But Allah exposed the munafiqeen. But another thing, He made it a means of destruction for the kuffar. I mean, you know, the most wretched person on earth is the one who kills a Nabi or he strikes a Nabi. Now, this man who struck the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was a means of destruction for him. So people will, in the worldly sense, they'll take it as a defeat. But Allah wanted to fulfill some purposes. Lives had to be lost. But the aim or that purpose was fulfilled. And people gained their shahada. And the munafiqeen were exposed. The kuffar were destroyed by that. Do you understand? So this whole perception thing is so important. And it is the sunnah of the anbiya. The sunnah of as-salihin. It is the sunnah of the pious. It is the sunnah of the prophets. You look at Yusuf alayhi salam. He speaks to his brothers. After they came the second time, هَلَ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُوسُفَ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ Do you remember what you did with Yusuf when you were ignorant? Or when you did not know what you were doing? That's another translation they give. When you did not know what you were doing. They say that it is that mercy of Yusuf alayhi salam. He said that, you know, I understand that you did it out of jahala. So, إِذْ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ They look at him, أَإِنَّكَ لَا أَنْتَ يُوسُف He says, أَنَا يُوسُفُ وَهَذَا أَخِي قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا نعم إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِعُ أَجْرُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ He says, this is Yusuf. I am Yusuf. This is my brother. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا Allah has favored us. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرْ One who exercises patience and he is dutiful to Allah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِعُ أَجْرُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Yusuf alayhi salam did not tell them that it was because of you. It was because of you threw me in the world. I got sold and then I was seduced by the queen. Then I served some years. It was because of you. They say the best person who's patient is the one who's in the position of authority. You'll see his good akhlaq and his patience. He had the power at that time to punish them, to avenge against his brothers. But he remembered that he must keep on running. Hit the ground running. Be patient and be dutiful to Allah. This is your maqsad in this world. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ The father also, what did he say? Second time, or even the first time, when they came back to him, he said what? Huh? قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا إِنَّا ذَهَبْنَا نَسْتَبِقُ وَتَرَكْنَا يُوسُفَ عِنْدَ مَتَاعِنَا فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ One. The second time he says فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ And then he says to the brothers, when they said that you are going to destroy yourself with this, he says, I'm not grieving over the loss. He's not grieving over the loss. He knew Allah had a purpose to fulfill. He says, وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ And I know from Allah that which you know not. Another thing, mindset. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, رضي الله تعالى عنه. We know how much of wealth this man had. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, one day he's sitting, and he says to people, قُتِلَ حَمْزَ وَكَانَ خَيْرٌ مِنِّي Hamza has been killed, and he was better than me. قُتِلَ مُصَعَبْ ibn Umair. وَكَانَ خَيْرٌ مِنِّي Mus'ab ibn Umair got killed and he was better than me. This is the mindset we are talking about, the Muslim mindset. Look at his nazar, where it was. This man had so much wealth. Ma ashghalahu. It never distracted him. Look at what he says. He says that these two who were killed were better than him because they've gained shahada. I have this wealth. Perhaps our akhirah qad ujjilat lana. Ujjilat. Bil'ayn. Ujjilat lana. Perhaps my akhirah, the good that I was supposed to get in al-akhirah, has been brought in this world and I have no share in akhirah. The ultimate goal of a mu'min is not how, you know, how you'll make it in life in this year, you know, how you begin this year. But your ultimate goal is al-akhirah. So the way you look at things should be totally different from the way the kuffar view the world, from the way the kuffar view events, how they respond to events as well. Now, how they respond. You know, one sheikh was saying that akbaru kadhiba, he says the biggest lie today, the biggest lie, ta'aminu al-mustaqbal. Yannu amin awladana al-mustaqbal. We are assuring our children of their future. We're not saying don't take them to schools. But, you know, it is like, and wallah, it is a mentality of the non-Muslims. We are predicting things. That if I do 1, 2, and 2, the result will be this. In worldly matters, that's how we always predict things. But in matters of al-akhirah, we don't predict. You know? We are shaking. We are uncertain. Look at death. Look at how we treat death. We treat it as if it is uncertain. So now he says that the biggest lie is to tell our children that you will have a bright future by so doing. That person, and wallahi, I'm not saying you must be negative, but preparing for this world, if you only focus on it, a day after graduation or a day before you go for your next job, Allah can take your life. He says that is the biggest lie we're lying, you know, to each other and our children. He says, al-mustaqbal al-haqiqi, the real future, alladhi yastaqbiluka wa la tamutu ba'da dhalika abada. He says the real future is the one that which you meet or that meets you and you don't die after that. Now, that which you don't die after that. What am I trying to say, my brothers and elders? Haqaratu dunya, yadullu ala haqaratu dunya. Which all these New Year's resolutions are based on. All of them are on dunya. On akhirah, we don't make so much effort. And I like to read the share to people. They say, jis dore pe naz aati dunya hum ap wo zamana bhul gaye, dunya ki kahani yaad rahi aur apna fasana bhul gaye, muh dekh liya aaine mein aur daag na dekha seene mein, ji aisa lagaya jeene mein aur marne ko musalma bhul gaye. Jis dore pe naz aati dunya hum ap wo zamana bhul gaye, the golden era, we have forgotten that time, that era, wo zamana hum bhul gaye sab. Dunya ki kahani yaad rahi. First thing in the morning, you heard what happened in this country, what happened in that country. Dunya ki kahani yaad rahi. Who lost this, who gained that? Apna fasana bhul gaye. We forgot about ourselves. This can be your, not your New Year's resolution, your day resolutions. Everybody who came here, before you came to this masjid, you looked at your mirrors. Mo deke liya aine me. Or daag na deka sine me. Who has taken time to look at his heart? Who has taken time to look at his faults? What is it? What is my weakness? Do I have pride? Am I greedy? Am I suffering from jahala? How much importance have you paid to your salah? Do I have tawajjuh in my salah? To mu dekh liya aaine me aur daag na dekha seene me. Ji aisa lagaya jeene me. So much effort we make to live also. Aur marne ko musalma bol gaye. And the musalman has forgotten that he will die. Hassan al-Basri says that ma ra'aytu yaqinan la shakka fihi. Naam? Ma ra'aytu yaqinan la shakka fihi ashbaha min shakkin la yaqina fihi ila min al-maut. Now, I've never seen anything that is so certain that people treat it as if it is uncertain. The way, they treat it as if it is uncertain. For example, the businesses we're doing, we're not certain if we'll make profit or not. But the life we live in this world, we should be certain that we are going to die. But all of us are certain, Muslim, Hindu, whatever. But we treat it as if it is uncertain. And these are the plans we are making. By June, I'll be traveling to this place. I'll be doing that to that. The first thing you should do, bring your Allah first. First thing you should do, how do you view things? How do you treat, how do you respond to calamity? How do you respond to blessings that befall on you? Because this, they say the biggest fitna, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh, says that, la akhaful maut. Nam? La akhaful maut. He says that, I don't fear death. He said that he feared, you know, kora. The kora. Walakin akhaful saut. Lanna fitna. He fears the kora because the in it is fitna. But somebody said to him that, why don't you make rujo? Why don't you retract these words that the Quran is not the creation of Allah, is not the ways of Allah. He says that when I measured my house, I found my house to be more comfortable than the fire of Jahannam. If I have to retract this, I found my house to be more comfortable than me being in the fire of Jahannam. This is the message. Change your mindset. How you look at things. I'll leave you with these two words. They say hope for the best. Nam, hope for the best, prepare for the worst, and do not be unsurprised by anything in between. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant all of us tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, bihamdika, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.